KALW.
Initially, I thought the reaction is just, oh my gosh, you know, I love your voice.
From Barry White to James Earl Jones, Black men's voices have represented comfort, affection, and authority in pop culture.
I think what was surprising was when people would say, I feel safe. This is the first time that I felt comfortable and allowed myself to feel vulnerable with a Black man.
But why do these voices make us feel these ways?
I think that Black men's voices, the character of the voices, can often express things that maybe words alone couldn't.
Celebrating the Black male voice, an episode from the Stoop podcast. I'm Henat Baba, and this is Cross Currents. Today, in an episode from the Stoop podcast, hosted by me and Leela Day, we're celebrating the voices of Black men. Black male voices have been an important part of the American pop culture fabric. A voice like Barry White's is associated with affection, sensuality.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby.
But Morgan Freeman's voice is soothing and cozy. James Earl Jones's booming voice commands attention and exudes authority.
Look, Simba, everything the light touches is our kingdom. A king's time as ruler rises and falls like the sun. One day, Simba, the sun will set on my time here.
There's such a love for Black men's voices that there was a viral trend where men just read stories live on audio platforms. There was a group called Bearded Black Men Reading. In this excerpt, we'll meet its founder, voice actor Kingsley Okafor, and we'll hear more about the power of Black men's voices.
We got it together, didn't we? We've definitely got our thing together, don't we, baby?
I mean, Barry White, he is an R&B legend. And Barry, you know, of course, was always asked about his voice. In an interview with the National Audiovisual Institute of France, Barry talks about discovering his deep voice.
I woke up one morning, you know, like any other morning, and I spoke to my mother, and it horrified both of us. It was unbelievable. My chest vibrated. We just stood in the floor staring at each other, you know. It was incredible. For the next 3 weeks, all of my friends, you know, they wanted me to talk and say something. And
so it's not 25 years of heavy smoking. It just happened like that.
That's an annoying presumption.
Mm, yeah. The interviewer kind of teases him. And in the video, you see Barry kind of shrug it off and shake his head. He's a little annoyed, but the interviewer keeps focusing on the texture of his voice.
Well, it's been described as the voice of an earthquake. What would be your definition of your voice?
Very low, very smooth, very dynamic. Barry can be very demanding. It can be very humble. It depends on how I use it.
I love that answer. Very humble, depending on how I use it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like multifaceted and it's complex and he can do a lot of things with it. And that interviewer just kept pressing him on the depth of his voice versus his skill as a singer. And it's almost like he's fetishizing his voice.
And in this episode, it makes me question, you know, are we at risk of doing that too?
Okay. I mean, Leela, this episode is about the love of Black men's voices, right? So let's try not to overthink it because we know there's more to it, right? There are a lot of things to consider. There are women with deep and resonating low-pitched voices. Okay, I don't have one. And people aren't just their voice, right? Lots of voices can be sexy. It's complicated. We're sound people. We are audio people. We pay attention to this stuff. Right? There's nothing wrong with a little sonic love letter to our brothers.
Yeah. And there's another aspect of this, too. These voices also tend to put me to sleep.
Sleep?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hopefully your man isn't out there listening to you, admitting that you're falling asleep while he's talking.
I mean, it happens, but why does this topic always need to lean to the sexual? I mean, like Barry White just said, you know, there are layers to this. There are so many things about the Black man's voice that are beyond the sexual.
Let your hat down. Let me get you in the mood.
Barry, please slow your roll. I'm trying to make a point here.
Whew, these voices can draw us in, and they can have a visceral effect on us. And we want to know why.
I'll take good care of you.
I think that deeper voices are also associated with tougher personalities. Mm-hmm. You know, I imagine so many men with these deeper voices, they're often stereotyped as these alpha males.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one group of researchers asked folks about their perceptions of lower voices, and they overwhelmingly said that a lower and deeper voice would be more likely to win a fight. I mean, scientists believe that a low-pitched voice exaggerates size. So for humans and animals, deeper pitches make things seem bigger and more intimidating.
Hmm. I mean, Barry White is, what, 6'4"?
Mm-hmm.
But his height and his baritone voice don't contradict how humble he is, you know, like he said, or how nurturing he is, like in his lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this research is saying these sorts of alpha male stereotypes aren't just intimidating, but they're also seen as attractive. Any things we see as contributing factors in winning a competition, like muscle mass, confidence, leadership, our perception of who has that winning combo is affected by voice pitch.
Yeah, and the studies say that deep voices, they give this air of power and sexual allure.
Vocal pitch isn't just about how we perceive others. It's also about how we perceive ourselves. In another study of trans men undergoing testosterone therapy, vocal masculinization was found to be the most important trait participants wished to change.
Right, and that study also said that having a deep voice was associated with greater well-being for many trans men. Of course, that could be because it helped them feel more affirmed in their gender.
I think making assumptions on voice can be super limiting for people, you know, for their true identity and the way they get to show up in the world. We know this.
Mm.
People contain mm-hmm. multitudes. And on the other hand, it's also fascinating to me that lower pitched voices can signal power, wisdom, and authority, especially when so many of us, Black men included, have been ridiculed for how we speak.
Yeah, and that's why we just need to break through the noise and the negativity and have a celebration of the voices.
Exactly.
One, two, three, and to the foe. Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the door.
Oh, here we go with this voice again. Sneaking up on me.
Ready to make an entrance, so back on up. Because you know we about to rip up.
The range. What? So he went from lease agreements to recipes to, is he reading nothing but a G-thang?
Give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble.
Yes, yes, he is. I asked Kingsley to read some more from our National Negro Archives. G-Thang by Snoop.
Compton and Long Beach together. Now, you know you in trouble. Because ain't nothing but a G-Thang, baby. Can we stop for a moment? Can we stop and just talk about this? I want to stop right here and talk about this.
Oh, okay, Kingsley. Let's talk this out.
So my name is Kingsley Okafor. And a lot of people know me as Ruckus.
So Kingsley's voice has been in commercials and on TV shows.
You know, I've had calls for, more commercial work where they're looking for a tone that expresses authority, or they're looking for a tone that expresses romance, or they're looking for a tone that expresses comfort.
I mean, I wonder how he perceives his voice.
Well, personally, I think that it's really difficult to know how you sound. I don't know if there's probably some science behind this, right?
We've talked about the sort of anthropological studies behind the perception of voice, but let's get into the nitty-gritty of the anatomy. Just a side note here. It's all about the positioning of the vocal cords. They vibrate at a lower rate, producing a lower pitch, a longer vocal tract, which extends from the lips to the larynx. That generates a deeper resonance in the voice.
All right, Dr. Lila.
Fascinating, right?
My voice is probably baritone, probably has a warmer texture to it. I've heard qualities like people feeling safe. But then when I've used my voice in different capacities, I've heard, you know, people feeling excited by it.
Excited is one way to put it, but our conversation about voice was beyond those that get turned on by his voice. We started talking about what a Black man's voice symbolizes, you know, beyond the sexual stereotype.
Honestly, when I think about Black men's voices in my upbringing, I just think about a lot of warmth, a lot of laughter.
Okay, Hannah, do you remember this moment during the beginning of the pandemic when there was that app called Clubhouse and it really started taking off? Remember that?
You would log in and you can like go into different rooms and it was only audio. That's why I loved it. And you just sit there and listen.
Yeah.
There aren't really a lot of social platforms that are just about your voice. So it was really new. It was novel.
I mean, and it was around that time that Kingsley reluctantly joined some of these conversations.
It was like bearded Black men reading to you. And I was like, I go in the room and there's like just a couple of people. And then I was like, you know what? This is too weird.
It was an entire room where people would log in and sit and listen and request things to be read by a group of about 5 bearded Black men.
And then these rooms started getting really big. And it was amazing how people were reacting to having their favorite songs, their favorite poems, all of these things being read by us.
Eventually, this group of bearded Black men began accepting requests and they would just read them out loud.
The reaction was surprising. Initially, I thought the reaction is just, you know, a reaction that I've gotten at different points in my life, which is like, oh my gosh, you know, I love your voice, which is, you know, an absolutely wonderful compliment, you know, but it was not, that wouldn't be anything new probably to any of the guys, you know, because they all have nice voices in their own right. But I think what was surprising was when people would say, I feel safe. When people would say, this is the first time that I've felt comfortable and allowed myself to feel vulnerable with a Black man. You know, I didn't think about people who have had negative experiences with Black men or coming out of, you know, abusive relationships or kind of indoctrinated into whatever stereotypes might exist about Black men's hypermasculinity. And so to be around men who will just read to you and don't want anything from you, and yet they're sharing this kind of intimate moment with you of reading to you, something that, you know, even a father would do.
And that's what's so fascinating about this room, is that it became a space for healing through listening.
Even though Black men and men in general can struggle to express emotions, I think that our voices, Black men's voices, the character of the voices can often, and the animation in those voices can often express things that maybe words alone couldn't. With some women, it was repairing the distrust from abuse or a bad breakup, you know, or some kind of traumatic event. So I started to realize pretty early on that what the guys had come up with and what we were doing was kind of a healing and safe space for a lot of Black women.
And so over time, it seems like bearded Black men reading were getting very personal, intimate requests.
To have a letter read from their father apologizing for not being there for them during their childhood. And they asked me to read that. And I remember feeling like the emotional weight of that. Either they were no longer with them or they were no longer in communication with them, but they wanted to hear that, and they wanted to hear it in a voice that would comfort them. And so I thought that was really touching.
And that's the beauty of the voice, and that's what we're talking about, right? Like this, these people feel that they want to be comforted by Kingsley reading to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's exactly why I love audio, Lila. That's why it's just the most intimate form of communication to me. It must have felt amazing for him to play those roles, though. Like that he could help someone in that way just by reading, just by using his voice. That's powerful.
Mm-hmm. And he told me that the most requested reading from this group was actually from the Bible.
The Bible?
Yeah, Song of Solomon.
Mm-hmm. Song of Solomon, which can be very sexual and is very intimate. And a lot of people who, you know, haven't explored that part of the Bible, they're surprised that's actually scripture that's talking like that. And so that was something that was often surprising. Kiss me full on the mouth. Yeah. For your love is better than wine, headier than your aromatic oils. The syllables of your name murmur like a meadow brook. No wonder everyone loves to say your name. Take me away with you.
I ask him if he ever tries to shift his voice in situations, you know, for effect. You know, if he deepens his voice for other people.
I have kind of raised the octave of my voice. The way that I would answer my regular voice might be, you know, oh, yeah, I can do that. But the way that I would answer by kind of raising the octave in my voice might be like, yeah, I can do that. There's, you know, I examined this in myself a number of years ago, and I realized that I've done that oftentimes to make other men feel safe and to make myself seem safe, which sounds contradictory to some of the answers that I've given you before. But what I mean by that is, like, a lot of times if, let's say that this happens at work, 9-to-5 corporate world, there's a call, I jump on the call and I'm like, you know, hey, how's everybody doing? And then it gets kind of quiet. So what most men will do, they'll be like, whoa, why are you using that voice on this call? Even though that's my regular voice. Or they'll be like, nah, hey man, yo, don't use that voice. I'm not one of them. And I'm like, what are you talking about? But this goes into some of, you know, masculinity issues, probably some like homophobic stuff. Like there's a lot that can be that you could probably extrapolate from that. So I found myself raising the pitch of my voice to try to seem less threatening. And it sounds lighter. It sounds more accommodating.
So Kingsley says it's this kind of code switching that he's doing, depending on the gender who's listening. You know, it's something I've never thought of, but the idea that we intentionally or unintentionally switch our pitch in order to get a certain mm-hmm. outcome from other people, that's weird, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think we totally do that all the time. We just don't realize it. But Lila, I wonder though, you know, in these clubhouse rooms where there were so many people and they were making these sort of you know, honestly sensual requests of the bearded black men reading. Was there ever a time that Kingsley thought he felt sexualized in that space?
I mean, I did ask him.
That's what society does, right? Like, so, like, if you sound like Barry White, then people are going to be like, oh, that's a, you know, lover boy. I know the ladies love your voice. And that's just what it is. We have discussions and we're like, okay, well, we want to make this broader. So we'd have conversations on the stage where we're not just reading, but we'd have conversations about how we're feeling, how the week has been.
But Leela, you know what else? It sounds like these men in these rooms were also kind of seen as healers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bearded black men reading, they became kind of healers and leaders.
This reminds me of something we talked about earlier, the studies that we're talking about, that deep resonant voices were also perceived as being authoritative, right? Like CEOs, political candidates, and in some cases, better leaders.
Mm-hmm. And we know that that could be some patriarchal nonsense too, you know?
Yeah. But it reminded me of another voice, a voice that represents a feeling of security, of home, of guidance. This voice.
America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, is a part of our past, Ray.
I mean, James Earl Jones, he's been the voice of the reliable narrator for years. The deep baritone voice of Darth Vader, of the Lion King. His voice represents authority and, in most cases, just comfort.
They'll come to Iowa for reasons they can't even fathom. They'll turn up your driveway, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at your door as innocent as children.
You know these studies that we mentioned earlier, and they state that both men and women sometimes deliberately lower their voices to sound more knowledgeable and successful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, like we're trying to emulate that James Earl Jones effect of authority when we want to be respected.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And also, our voice naturally goes lower in pitch as we age. Mm-hmm. Have you been noticing that, Leela?
Yes.
I've totally been noticing
that. No, not with me.
With my voice.
Me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. There's that code switching. Code switching to be a Gen Zer.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe we also associate a low voice, a lower pitch, with experience, right? Like, with wisdom, with just knowing more and deeper knowledge. Mm-hmm.
And I'm noticing it more lately, like when I hear an insurance commercial and they're selling safety and selling smart choices, it's often a black man with a deep voice, like Dennis Dexter Haysbert, who's the voice of Allstate Insurance.
A home-cooked meal. Time with loved ones. Appreciating the things we do have, the things we can count on. It's back to basics.
We look to those voices to be our guides.
And the basics are good. Protect them. Put them in good hands.
So, Leela, but do you feel like, even though this is so complex and there's so many sides to it, have we been able to sort of pay tribute to black men's voices and get away from the tendency to over-fetishize them?
Yeah. I mean, is the black male voice over-sexualized? Yes. But I think there's something powerful in understanding that if you strip back this, you know, pop cultural lens from all of it, it resonates first with something else, which for me is familiarity and its comfort and its trust that so many black men have felt they have to prove.
The That was an excerpt from the episode Talk That Talk, an ode to Black men's voices from the Stoop podcast hosted by me and Leela Day. You can hear the full episode at KELW.org and find more episodes by subscribing to The Stoop on your podcast player. Tune in Monday morning at 11. The San Francisco Public Press is investigating the city's response to those experiencing mental health crises.
They get 5150 so they can be assessed and taken to care. That doesn't really happen. So people just end up back to where they started, which is the streets.
A conversation with reporters Jessica Prado and Madison Alvarado, Monday morning at 11. Today's Cross Currents team includes Aru Nair, Afton Okwu, Julia Haney, Cherie Bishop, James Rowlands, Ganadijo Johnson, Victor Tense, Shirin Adil, Marissa Ortega Welch, Angela Johnston, Lisa Morehouse, Sunni Khalid, and Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.